summer vacation is still striking us, so. Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to get together, Lord. And we just pray today, God, that you would allow, Lord, your presence, Lord, your power, Lord, your anointing and your grace, Lord, to fill this place. Fill our hearts, Lord, God, with a hunger and a desire for you. Lord, we pray that every area of our life, Lord, that has need, God, that you would fill it today. Lord, that you would bring, Lord, those answers to those needs in our hearts. Those answers, God, that seem impossible, God. Lord, what is impossible with man, Lord, is so totally possible with you, Lord. So we step into the impossibility realm today, Lord, and we allow you to work on our behalf, in our families, in our jobs, Lord, in every area of our life. And Lord, we just surrender, Lord, this time. We yield this time to you. Lord, we dedicate this service into your hands, Father. And we ask that you would direct and guide it, Holy Spirit. Let your will be done here today. Let your purposes, let your plans be fulfilled. And we just ask right now, Lord, that we would just be able to leave behind everything that has been distracting us and look to you, Lord Jesus. And look to you, the work that you've done for us, the cross, the freedom that it brings, Lord, the liberty that it brings, God, and the new life that it enables us to live. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's worship the Lord. Because you're a good, good Father, it can be well with our souls, Lord. It can be well, Lord, no matter what the circumstances look like. No matter what the situations around us seem to say, Lord. It can be well with our souls, Lord. Because you're a good, good Father. Lord, you were so good. You're so loving, Lord, that you gave us Jesus. You gave your one and only Son. Lord, you let him be poured out, Lord, as an offering, Lord, for all of mankind. And Lord, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your love. Thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life. Help us to never take that for granted. Help us to never, Lord, sell that short of the power and the purpose that life can have in us. We just thank you, Lord, that you're working in our hearts and our lives today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is a little unorthodox, but the Villalobos have had a loss in their family, and a dog went missing. And I know how animals can... they can just be part of the family, and they're going through a tough time. So would you guys come on up, and we're going to pray. And remind me the dog's name. What? Charlie. Thank you, Lord. Would you stretch forth your hand? And we're going to pray for a miracle. We're going to pray. He's been gone quite a while now, over a day. So it looks like impossible, but you know, with God, the things that are impossible are totally possible. And so, Father, right now, especially for Elena, Lord, we just ask that you would comfort her heart, comfort the whole family's heart, God. Lord, as they sense this loss, Lord, we pray that you would just, Lord, let it be well with their soul. Let it be well with them, Lord. And Father, right now, Lord, we pray for a miracle. Lord, we pray that wherever Charlie is, God, if even someone has taken him, Lord, and doesn't know where he goes, Lord, I pray that a miracle would take place. Lord, that he would come home. Lord, you know where he is right now. Lord, you know this family's love for him. Lord, so we pray, God, that you would allow, Lord, a miracle to take place. And we just pray right now, God, that Charlie would come home. Come home, Charlie, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And bless this family. In Jesus' name.
I know.
In Jesus' name. Yeah, she's tender, isn't she?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, awesome. So I don't think there will be any children today. So, what? Can we pull the table down? I think so. We meaning me? Oh, no. Sweet. Oh, muscles. Okay, thank you. It is heavy, isn't it? Oh, guess what? So if you guys see like a whole bunch of stuff on something like dust and you're going, man, nobody's cleaning this place. They've been doing the roof. And last night you guys really saw it, didn't you? Well, they were way back there. So it's not like it was like right in front of you. So, and it's funny because it wasn't everywhere. It's just certain places. So praise the Lord that they're doing the roof though. We need it. You like it better down here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Requested that. Okay. So, we're going to talk about... It feels like I'm farther away from this, though. I don't know if I'm off kilter or... I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put it here so it's right in front of me.
Okay.
That way I can... Oh, you need a mic.
Oh.
We're just all out of kilter, aren't we? You move it down there and I'm like...
We're kind of off center and that's why
we... Are we off center?
No, you're taking it the wrong direction.
I'm taking the wrong direction?
See out there?
Okay, we're good. Okay, let me get to my PowerPoint. Then I don't have to keep turning around and hurting my neck. Where is it at? We're going to talk about running the race. I think you guys have that figured out by now. I wonder how you figured that out, huh? Hello. Please, where are you at now? Oh, recent, okay. Running the race. And that could be many things, but I want to cover a couple different aspects of running the race. So if we go to 2 Chronicles, it's not your normal running chapter that you guys are thinking of, but I was reading the one-year Bible this year, and while I was reading it, this verse, I'd read it many times, never really clicked like it clicked this time. So, 2 Chronicles 30, 6 through 11. This is not your normal Bible reading for most people, so you guys might hear a story. Let me go ahead and set up this story. Hezekiah is king of Judah, and he is, I think it's right after he had a major... miracle restoration, and he was wanting to bring Judah, which is the southern tribe, to a place of really seeking the Lord and fulfilling all that God was calling them to do. And so he made sure that Jerusalem was preparing the priests and doing everything that they needed to do to truly worship the Lord, as he had not been worshipped in, well, since probably Solomon. And so he says, you know what? Let's invite all of Israel. Let's not just make it about Jerusalem and Judah and Benjamin. Let's invite all of Israel. So let me go ahead and I will send runners throughout the entire empire. And so that's what he does. And so this is in verse 6 where we're catching that. Then the runners went throughout all Israel and Judah with the letters from the king and his leaders and spoke according to the command of the king. Children of Israel, return to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Then he will return to the remnant of you who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria.
Worked.
And do not be like your fathers and your brethren who trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, so that he gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now, do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord and enter his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if you return to the Lord, your brethren and your children will be treated with compassion by those who lead them captive, so that they may come back to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn his face from you if you return to him. So the runners passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh as far as Zebulun. But they laughed at them and mocked them. Nevertheless, some from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. So when I read this, but they laughed at them and mocked them, and realizing that Hezekiah's heart was to bring everybody around the goodness of God, to be who they were called to be as his people, because they were called to be worshipers. They were called to be his people. They were called to be his children. And they had an awesome responsibility. And they were having years of turning away. They had years of turning away from that, not walking in the ways they should. And so instead of just having Jerusalem return to God, he wanted all of Israel to return to God, because they were a divided kingdom. I've gotten to that before. And these runners are going around communicating this truth, that if we turn to God, he will have compassion on us. Just as it says in 2 Chronicles about if we, his people, will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, that he will heal our land. That's one prayer that Solomon was revealed to by the Lord. And so we have here that they were laughing at them and they were mocking them. And as I was reading that, I was realizing that when you are in a running attitude, when you are carrying a message from the king, and guys, do you know that that's what we're doing? We're carrying a message from the king. Now, it may not be that, you know, we're going to set up, you know, a place and we're going to worship God in this place and that we want everybody to gather, but we're heralds and we're runners and we're communicating the good news of the gospel. And some of us have messages that are even different in even our bodies. Because see, they were all thought they were worshiping God. Some of them were worshiping God through their old practices of Baal and through the Asherah pole. And they thought, well, that's good enough. We're worshiping God. And they thought they were worshiping God. And yet Hezekiah is saying, no, let's return to the true God. Let's return to the true ways of worship. And so I sense that today there's a hunger in God's people to go deeper. There's a hunger in God's people to not let just the surface truth be what carries us or be what satisfies us even. That we want, as the saying goes, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And that to some, that truth may be worth mocking, because it's over the top. It's, you don't need to go that far, Hezekiah. We've got it. We're good. We're all taken care of. Now, I don't know what they were saying to them, but they were laughing at them and they were mocking them. And sometimes others' laughters and others' mocking may be unwarranted, as it was in this case. And what you are doing is the right way. How you are walking is the right way. Even though it looks like others may not be walking with you, or others may not be receiving your message. I know you got something to say. No, you don't? You're just intently looking at me? But nevertheless, some from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Notice it took a humbling. It takes a death of pride. It takes a death of knowing that or thinking that you have it all figured out. And some from those three tribes, right? Asher, is that me up? Those three tribes did end up going to Jerusalem. But the call went out to all 12 tribes. It went out through all Israel. Yeah, a lot of Israel was scattered. A lot of them had been taken away. But some had been left behind. And Hezekiah was giving them an opportunity to hear the truth. So with that said, let's go ahead and go to a New Testament scripture about running. Maybe we can make all this tie together. If not, we'll have like little mini messages. 1 Corinthians 9:23-27. Now this is Paul, and he's communicating to the Corinthian church, and he's communicating different truths and aspects of what it means to serve God. He lays down different ways and means. Like he communicates about communion in this. He communicates about sacrificing food to idols. But in this passage, he's talking about what really matters. He's talking about what the core of some of the issue with faith is all about. So, now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. That I may be partaker of it with you. I'm sure in partnership with you. Do you know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. I'm going to go and finish this passage and then we'll go back. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Let's go back up to the top. So Paul's communicating here that, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? In other words, you know, going back to that last passage, Israel, Judah, they're all running as God's people. But some were not running to win. Some were just running to get by. Maybe some made excuses. You know, Jerusalem's a long ways away. And you know how long it's going to take us to travel there? It'll probably all be done by the time we get there. I mean, I'm sure they had their reasons why they didn't want to go. Maybe Hezekiah had like a reputation out there. Hezekiah's really crazy. You know, he really is just like doing things that he's not getting help from other kings. It's like he'll stand up against these crazy Syrians, and he won't rely on anybody else's help. And thank goodness they went away, not realizing that was the hand of God. He didn't act and respond like everybody else, and he was probably ridiculed. And so when he made the call, I'm sure many were saying, you know what, we're running our own race. We're doing just fine, thank you. But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And I think this is so interesting because it sounds like there's only one Christian that's going to get this reward. Sounds like one person's going to receive this prize. But I'm here to tell you that in a supernatural way, we're all in our own individual race. We're all racing together, but we're all in our own individual race. That we're not in competition with each other. Like, it's not going to help me to trip Zeke so he doesn't, you know, get ahead. Besides, I don't know if I could trip Zeke. He's a pretty big guy. But I mean, it's not about, you know, how much farther I could get ahead of you. And Christianity has been about that for a while. How much more can I know than you know? And now I'm going to let you know how much I know so that you can feel inferior. That's not Christ's heart. Those who know more and have experienced more are going to have a heart to help those who don't know but not from a way to making them feel inferior, but a way of elevating what's inside of them, bringing Christ out of them. What? Say it.
Love God, love people.
Love God, love people.
So with you saying that and us reading the word prize several times on here. Sorry, guys, I'm croaky. When our kids were little, we had them write a list of things that they wanted for Christmas. If our kids would have just put on their list a toy, that's open for a lot of different. I mean, who wants a G.I. Joe when you're a girl that wanted a Barbie? You know what I mean? They wouldn't be there. Kids are very specific about things that they want. They even sometimes write down the model number. Okay, for those of us that don't know, what's the prize? Like, what's the prize? What is the prize? Like, is it worth even running for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Again, it's at the end.
Oh, I'm asking at the end the question. Sorry. I'm so bad.
Well, it's not at the end. I guess it's going to be probably 3 more verses. But
okay.
Yeah, is the prize here, of course, is Christ. The prize is knowing him as he knows us. But that's a good question. What is this prize that we're running after? It's I believe, as Christians, our prize is to hear and know that we've done well as good and faithful servants. That we've finished our race, we've ran our course. Not, I've ran Zeke's course, or Lisa's course, or anyone else's course in here. I ran my course. And you, with all the equipping of God, run your race, run your course. But we still need to run as one that wants to receive the prize. That means we have to discipline ourselves. Oh, there's that word. How many of you like the word discipline? I mean, I know for me, when I heard the word discipline, it meant I was getting in trouble. Anybody else? Anybody back there ever been disciplined?
Yeah.
Panda, you ever been disciplined? Oh, hello. I know Zeke has. He's told me about it. But that kind of discipline is the kind that's enforced on you. We can also discipline ourselves by bringing our body into a discipline, by bringing our soul into a discipline under the Spirit. I'm getting a little ahead. So let's go. So everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So here we hear it, a crown. Mm-hmm. So all this that we're doing is so that we can put a crown on our head at the end of all this. Now, what is our crown? Our crown is our glory of the Lord. Our crown is our glory of each other. Our crown is our relationships, our lives that we've shared. Our relationship with God the Father. That's our crown. Yeah, is our crown potentially worth something in heaven? Absolutely. I don't know the commodity system in heaven. I don't know how it all works. I know that there is currency and there is value because we know Satan traded something and got in trouble for it. So we know there's currency in heaven. But this crown is imperishable, and it's not just about, you know, being able to say, well, I got my crown, has more studs in it than you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Looks like you missed one there. You know, we're not going to be doing that. This, again, is a completing our race.
What if we run off course?
What if we run off course?
Yeah. What if we're running the race and we take a rabbit trail?
Well, it says that when we take rabbit trails, which I would call that a meandering path, right, instead of staying on the true course, that I would say that we're outside of God's will, we're outside of his plan, we're outside of his purposes when we're on a rabbit trail. Call that sin, maybe, falling short of God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
Just simply, once you realize you're on this rabbit trail, Lord, forgive me. Father, forgive me. You know, I got chasing after a rabbit.
Missed the mark.
And so, would you restore me back onto the path? And he does it immediately.
Oh, immediately.
He puts you back. And so many think, well, you know what's going to happen? You're going to go way back here. You're going to go way off here. So now, you got to go back 20 spaces. because you got caught. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So now I got to work my way back up. Roll the dice. You know, ever played a game? Because when you get off into the area and you get into a penalty, because that's a penalty, right? You got to go back. No, in God, he'll put you where you were at the very least. Sometimes he'll put you where you should have been. How many have ever had that happen in their life? Where you go way off course and you think, okay, now I just got to go back to square one. No, he doesn't just put you back where you went off the path. He puts you back where you should have been because he loves us. Right, Daniel? And we're so loved that he doesn't count that against us. He says, no, my child, you're meant to fulfill a purpose. You're meant to be who I've called you to be, and I'm not going to hold that against you because my son is taken all the penalty. There's no penalty box. There's no 2 minutes in a penalty box. What?
The running off the side he uses for glory.
Well, he can take anything when we submit it to him, use it for his glory. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, we're going to be here a while if I keep on going like this. Okay, so I know it's you. It's not me, it's you. Okay, so verse 26. Therefore, I run thus not with uncertainty. And that T is not supposed to be there, of course. So like, he's creating new words again. No. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. What is this saying? In other words, I'm not running a race with no goal in mind. I'm not just going out on the street and starting to run across the country. And then when I get to the other ocean, turn around and run back. I want to get to the other ocean, turn around and run back. And we get to the other ocean, run back. And at some point go, what am I running for? No, because I just felt like running. And that's, you know, I hate running, so I'm not going to do that. But the point being is that we're not running with an uncertainty. We shouldn't be running this Christian life with uncertainty. If we have uncertainty, we should get with God. We should get with our Creator and our Maker and say, Lord, please show me so I can be fully certain where I'm running and how I'm running, mm-hmm. so that I'm not running in vain.
Right.
But I discipline my body. Here's that word. Discipline my body. I think you could add just as much. I discipline my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. That's pretty crazy. I myself should be disqualified. I don't want to go there. All right, so this word run, it's very interesting. We read it as run, and it sounds like it fits, but really, in those places that we're reading it there, it's in the active verb mode, and you should be saying, I am running. It's something that you constantly do. You know, because you can run to the store, and then, you know, you're done running to the store, right? Till you run to the store again. But this is a constant running, a repetitive running, a never-ending running. You're on that treadmill, but we're going somewhere. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it means properly to run like an athlete competing in the ancient Greek games. Figuratively, advance speedily like an athlete moving forward with full effort and directed purpose. Running wide open. How many watch the Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
The 100-meter race, the gold medal round. Bolt comes out of the gate, and he's like behind. If it was a 50-meter race, he wouldn't win. You watch that? He's behind at about 50 meters. But then something takes place in this guy, and at the 50-meter mark, he just starts pulling out like that next 50 meters. They're just being, it was another 50 yards. They'd be in the dust. There'd be nobody left. Why? Because he runs wide open, and his style is that he runs to win the 100 meter. He's not running to win the 50 meter. He's running to win that 100. Same way when he runs the 200. Running wide open conveys intense desire to get to the goal as quickly as possible. Now, I don't know how we get to the end of our race as quickly as possible because we all have to run the race, and our race is our life. Our race isn't just, you know, completing just a quick marathon and we're done. It's our marathon is our entire life. Okay. Any questions? No. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the crown. That is the crown. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What if you keep being reminded that you went off track by the enemy? And he says, you know, because of that, you are disqualified. Or because of that, you're way back here. You don't, even though it looks like you're up here, you're really not. You're back here because of what you did. But I'm here to tell you, we're to forget those things that are behind. So guess what? Yesterday is behind. The day before yesterday is behind. The day before that is behind. 10 years ago is behind. So what do we need to do if we can't forget it? Ask God to help us forget what is in our past. What continually comes up in our face and says, ha ha, you did this.
So ha-ha, you can't.
You went there. What's that?
So that you can't do what you thought you could do.
Exactly.
Because you disqualified yourself.
We disqualified ourselves. God hasn't disqualified us. Has he? I mean, I'm sure there's something you can do to disqualify yourself from God. But I think it's more than we are willing to do. Because I don't think anybody wants to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Because it sounds like that's the only thing that disqualifies us. Because in Christ, what? We are righteous. In Christ, our wicked deeds have been what? Forgiven, but not only forgiven, forgotten. We need to get this, that we're fully qualified in God to do everything he's called us to do, no matter how messed up we look.
So when I was a younger woman and the goal that I had, mm-hmm. that I thought was so wonderful and great, was I wanted to be a pastor's wife. Who would ever dream that? You know what I mean? But I did. And then I got married, and it didn't seem like that was happening. So it felt like I had chosen the wrong path, even though I was getting a lot of good things, like I have my kids and all of that stuff. So at that point, excuse me, some people that I associated with said to me, you know, well, that's not the path that God chose for you, therefore you're not on the right path. So what do you know, how are you going to fix that? And I said, well, I've chosen this path. I can't just not get off this path. And I believe that the Lord is gracious and compassionate. So in that, then where do I go? What do I do? And I remember somebody told me, they said, God has this perfect plan for everybody's life. He really does. And if we do something in that plan that makes that plan stop or makes that not happen, then you're on to plan B with God. And God makes that plan B now be plan A for your life.
Absolutely.
So you see the gracious and compassionate Lord coming out there? That's well, what ended up happening. I ended up getting married, and I am a pastor's wife. Hello. And I thought back then, and being divorced and all of that stuff would disqualify me from what I really truly felt in my heart. But God in his graciousness and compassion brought it back around. It wasn't plan A, but it was a new plan A. Does that make sense? So even if you knew that you were supposed to do this, say God had this plan for your life and you were going to do this, 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 and this, and you kind of went off kilter, don't think that now your whole life will be that way, because it's not true. God takes us where we are, as we are, loves us with everything in his being, and then he moves with us forward. That new plan A. We continue on that path. What we did before may not have been what he wanted for us, but he loves us. And like my husband said, not only does he forgive us, he throws everything into the sea of forgetfulness, and he forgets it too. So we need to pray, God, help me to forget like you did, and not be reminded, and always having the enemy remind me and bring it up. And the thing I always tell everybody is, remember the day that you prayed. Remember the time and the date. Time and date, not the day, not a Monday, Tuesday, but the time and the date. And when the enemy brings that to you, that, oh, look, you did this, you did that, you then go to that date and that time and you remind him, no. This day, July 12th, 1990, I prayed and asked the Lord to forgive me. You look at the date. I've been forgiven this whole time. You can't bring that back up. You remind him. Because some of us live in such, not conviction, but condemnation. And there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Come on. That's right.
So even if what, you know, we did, the race that we were supposed to run was supposed to be the 1500 meter, and we ended up only running, 200 meters, and then we stopped. God in his graciousness and compassion, he will reap those things back for us. But it takes our heart going to him and saying, God, like, I know this wasn't your plan for me. I'm so sorry. What do you want to do now? How do you want to do it now? And he will just take that and he will make something beautiful out of that. He's really good at that. Very, very good at that.
Okay. That's good. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here we go, running again. Running with endurance the race that is set before us. I'm going to go ahead and finish the scripture, and then we'll go back. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here we have it. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all the saints that have gone before us, let us lay aside every weight. Sometimes the weights are just our memory weights. They're not even anything we're doing anymore. They're memories that the enemy brings back and says, see right here, you did it again, or you're thinking of doing it again. I mean, He'll do anything he can to trip you up. And sin. So sometimes there are sins which easily ensnares us, entangles us, causes us to be hooked into it, causes us to be latched and connected. And that's not what God wants for us. And let us run a race that is with endurance, patience, consistency, not giving up, never quitting. I am convinced that the secret to Christianity is never quitting. It's a secret. It truly is. If you don't quit, you win. And you may say, well, but the Lord, I know, had all these other plans for me, prophesied over me, and I never accomplished those. I never fulfilled those. Well, that may be the case. You maybe can tell me a story of regret, wrong choices, all that stuff. But that is not who you are. Your wrong choices, your mistakes, your failures is not who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are we in Christ Jesus? Are we his sons and daughters? Are we his beloved? Does he see us as he sees Jesus? Absolutely. And so all of those things that easily ensnare us, entangle us, keeps us from running with endurance. And keeps us from looking unto Jesus. Notice that we run looking unto Jesus. That is our mark. That's our high calling. That's the purpose. That's the goal. To be transformed into who he is. Romans 8 says that we are to be coming, to be becoming like him in his image. That is God's desire for us. To take on his nature, to take on his characteristics, his attributes. That is God the Father's desire for us. Yes. Oh, how do you know that you've won? Well, that's a very good question. We know that we've won when we do hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We know that we've won when we've come to the end of our race. And the end of our race is this life. You know, this race, like I said, is an all-life marathon. And the only way that you don't win, I believe, is to give up.
So if you're running, no matter where you are, you're winning. Because on the path, as long as you're staying on that path and you're running, you're winning. It's when you take yourself off and stop running. That's when you know you're losing. So if you're still running for Jesus and you love him with all your heart, you know he loves you. Even if you didn't do the stuff he wanted you to do, you are still winning because you're still running the race. And you're saying, "Sorry, I did that, Lord. You know, just forgive me and help me to do better tomorrow." And he will help you do better tomorrow. He's good like that.
Lisa. Yeah, you need the mic. Yeah. So I can't even hear you. So with these fans going, it's like...
I was going to say, no, this is from the Lord, because I sat out there this morning. I got here kind of early, and I was just kind of sitting in my car. And I have felt over things.
Go ahead,
things,
put the mic up a little bit. He'll adjust it. There you go.
Felt things like a crushing weight on me, several things, to the point where I thought, we're going to have a panic attack any time now. Here it comes. You know, seriously, I'm just being honest with you. And I just felt the crushing weight. And the funniest thing, a couple of weeks ago, I bought my husband this stupid T-shirt. We've all seen it. It's the picture of Christ, and he's all buff.
Bench press this,
the weight of the world. You know, and he's got these big buff arms, and he's lifting this cross, and it's the weight of the world. It's the weight of the sin. And I was thinking about the thing that was crushing me, and all of a sudden, you know how God sometimes will just bang you upside the head, and you just sit there and go, blink, blink, because you have nothing to say. You're just like, oh. So anyway, God was letting me know, imagine how Christ felt. Imagine how you're feeling now with your little life, with your things that crush you, that weigh so heavy on your heart. Sometimes you can't even breathe because you're so concerned about things. And Jesus took all of that, and he took the weight. Can you imagine? Just imagine the times when you felt like, I can't breathe, and I'm about to have an anxiety attack. And Jesus took all of that. And I was like, one of those moments. And I thought, I'm not built to carry this. There was one that already carried that.
Yep.
There was one that, and that was this morning. And so when I came into church, I had to think about it for a while during worship. I'm chewing it over, and I'm like, this is from God. We can't give up, and it's not ours to. Jesus already lifted it. He already carried it I mean, he's got the physical, not the physical, but you know what I mean. He's got the tools to carry the heaviness that we can't carry. And I would, and see, I know these things.
Cast all your cares on him.
Yeah.
There's for you. Yeah.
See, we know these things, but we forget. We do. We forget. We get caught up in life. And so, yeah, this morning about 10 till 10, I was sitting out in the car going, blink, blink. Oh. So anyway.
That's good. That's really good.
He always reminds us, doesn't he, what the right way is. If we listen, that's the key. So talk about running this race. How do I run this race? You know, because it can get tiresome. It can get weary. It can get, like, heavy. It can get, like, oh, man, setback after setback. I thought I was, you know, progressing, and now I'm back, when it's all an illusion. Even us falling back is an illusion, guys. Because in Christ, we're the completed work. So it's really us receiving something that has already been done, like Lisa said so well. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, Lisa, and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So what is the key? Those who wait, those who rest, those who stay, those who abide, those who live and dwell in the realization that they are in Christ will wait on the Lord. They'll renew their strength. So if you are weary, if you are tired, go back to resting in God. Because really, we can't run this on our own. We don't have our own. We don't have enough strength to run on our own. I've tried to run the Christian life sometimes on my own. And every now and then I'm like, wow, this is really, I don't know if this is where I'm supposed to be. And I've been running, and it's like, Lord, it's like, over here. It's like, oh, okay. I mean, and grab his hand again and start taking off again. But it's easy to do that. Even you think that you're on the right path and you're running. I mean, you're not even off in Sinville. You're just, you know, like, you're not fixing your eyes on Jesus. You're like, I want that. That's what I want. And Jesus is like, no, you don't. You don't want that. That's just earthly stuff. You want me, and I'm real. Okay. So running the race. My final question is, are you running the race? If you aren't running the race, ask the Lord to help you run the race. Mm-hmm. If you're just, you know, I've been running the race, Pastor, but I'm weak and I'm tired. And right now, I just want to sit on the sidelines and watch others run.
Yes.
Yay! Go for it! But unfortunately, running the race is not a spectator sport. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Although, that's what it seems like for most people. Because on Sundays, they come to church and they spectate. They watch everybody else do their stuff. And then they go home, and then they'll come back again next week and spectate. No. Christianity is a 24/7 life. Mm-hmm. When you leave here, you're starting the race. This may be a little bit of a gate. We may all have a little reprieve when we come together, but your real race starts when you walk through those doors, get in your car, and go to work tomorrow, or go and do whatever you're called to do by God. That's when your real race is. And if you need help running your race, come see us afterwards. If you feel like you've been on the sidelines and you want to get back in the race, then just come see us and we'll just pray. Because God is so willing to put you right back where you belong, not where you left. Go ahead.
So I want to read something to you guys. And it has become...
Jesse, you do the...
Don't put it up, though, until I say put it up. Hi, son. Okay, so this thing I'm getting ready to tell you has become part of our life, but it's about IR4. IR4, okay? I Run For Michael is a nonprofit organization founded in January 2013 by Tim Boyle, who was inspired to run for more than the health and weight loss by a viral meme. Is that right? Am I saying that right? M-E-M-E? Mimi? Okay. I don't know what that is. Saying, I run because I can. When I get tired, I remember those who can't run, what they would give to have the simple gift I take for granted, and I run harder for them. When Tim shared this, Mimi, Michael, a 50-something man on his Facebook page, actually said he Michael suffered from Down syndrome. He said, "You can run for me anytime." And that's what started this IR4, was that Michael gave Tim the inspiration to run. And so it launched as a private group of 10 people, and with the buddy system of the buddies that have special needs. It's people that with Down syndrome or cerebral palsy or, you know, heart conditions or whatever. It's all the way across the board. It is mostly about children, but it is also about adults too. It's for both. So it launched in 2013, and there was only 10 people. And as of today's date, there are 43,000 people that are running for someone. Jesse, can you put that up? Someone is running for this cute little thing right here. Terry runs for me. And that little person up there happens to be our grandbaby, Eliana. That's how we found out about this foundation, was that they partnered Eliana with a person that could run for her, because this sweet little baby was born with 3 congenital heart defects. So she didn't have the energy even to walk. Her blood could barely flow through her body. And so when she was put into this, it's like a thing that everybody puts their name in, and then it matches them with somebody. This lady named Terry Vaughn is her last name, is the lady that runs for Eliana. And so she, every time Terry runs and she feels like she wants to quit, she thinks about Lana and about the medal at the end of the race that she will package up in a week or so and send to Eliana. Here's our other medal. Here's our next medal, baby. She sends her running shoes. She has sent her toys. She has made a shirt that says, "Terry runs for me." And Lana knows who Terry is. Lana is much better now. But the point I'm trying to make is these special need kids, these people, give these runners incentive. Jesus is our incentive.
Amen.
To run. We have something already. We don't need something else. We don't need to be sitting in our chair and saying to ourselves, "Well, if it was just so wonderful and powerful, I know I would do it." Well, it is wonderful and powerful. Jesus is enough. Relationship. Intimate relationship with Jesus is enough for us to run this race that we're talking about today. Like Lana is enough for Terry. Jesus is enough for us. He loves us. He has our best interests at heart. He has a plan, a future, a hope for us.
Amen.
And it hasn't changed. Have you? Have you sat so long on that chair that you've changed? Because if that's the case, recognize it for what it is and say, "Lord, you know, I'm so sorry. Now what do you want us to do? Where are we going to go from here?" And he'll give you incentive again, all over again. Does that make sense?
Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you for, again, this opportunity, Lord, to gather together. Lord, and we just receive, Lord, an inspiration, Lord, in our hearts to run with greater endurance. Lord, pressing harder, Lord, setting our eyes even more intently upon you, Lord, so that we, Lord, can hear at the end, "Lord, well done, you finished your race. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into your everlasting rest." Lord, we ask you for inspiration. Lord, just like Eliana was the inspiration for Terry, Lord, we ask you to be our inspiration. If we're not viewing you, Lord, as our inspiration, help, God, us to see you for who you truly are. Help us to see you, Lord, for your love and your compassion, God, and your your belief in us, God, that we can run. And Lord, we thank you that you will allow us to run in such a way that we won't grow weary. And that sounds impossible, because natural running causes weariness. Lord, we want to be ones that run and don't grow weary. We want to be ones, Lord, that live in that abundant heavenly life that you have purchased for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share? Comments? Ken? So Barb, yeah, we didn't see her, so she's really her back. Okay, well, Father, we come before your throne of grace right now, Lord, and we gather as your people, Lord, and we bring in our heart right now, Barb, Lord, and we ask, God, that you would just, where she is at right now, touch her with your hand of grace, your healing power. Lord, wherever that issue is in her spine, in her back, Lord, allow your hand of restoration and healing to come. Lord, we know that she has suffered an injury, Lord, and that has plagued her. Father, we ask that you would reverse, Lord, the damage of this injury. Lord, you are the God of restoration. You're the God of new beginnings. So, Lord, we ask right now for Barb for a new beginning in her back. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And we send our love to her right now. Give her a hug for us. You can give her a hug for yourself too, okay? Right. We'll let you get away with that. Us first, though. You might not get to us. If you say. Anyway, God bless you all. We love you, and we shall see you soon.